NPR.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by DesignStein, providing full-service web solutions since 1994. On the web at designstein.com.
It's 6 minutes now past 12. Good afternoon and welcome back to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Acton. Glad you could join us. Today on Midday, we are talking with six of the people who want to be the next mayor of the city of St. Paul. September 11th, less than a month from now, St. Paul voters will select two candidates to advance to the November general election. Two-term incumbent mayor Norm Coleman is not on the ballot, but 16 other folks will be on the ballot. And the two top vote-getters in the September primary will advance to the general election. The other 14 will be eliminated from the race. Now, six candidates are thought to have the best chance to survive next month's primary. Last hour, we spoke with three of them, Bob Long, Bobby Meegard, and Bob Kessler. This hour, we've been joined by the other three candidates who are considered to be front-runners in the race, DFL State Senator Randy Kelly, who has served in the legislature since 1975, DFL City Council member Jay Beninoff, who has served on the council since 1998, and Republican City Council member Jerry Blakey, who has served on the council since 1994. We should note that we grouped the candidates together in the old-fashioned way, in alphabetical order. So that's how these three ended up 1 hour, and the other three candidates ended up in the other hour. Just as we did last hour, we invite you to call in with your questions for the candidates, but just like last hour, we do send out the same appeal. If you're actively working for one of the candidates, please don't call. You already know who you're going to vote for, so let somebody else get their question in. And number two, please try to focus on issues of general interest rather than some fairly narrow concern that you might have. With those thoughts in mind, again, we do invite you to call in at 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. A couple of other reminders before we get started. If for some reason you can't, you missed last hour's program or you can't stick around for all of this hour, we will be rebroadcasting this entire program from 9 to 11 tonight on Minnesota Public Radio. And it's available on our website, minnesotapublicradio.org. In fact, you'll find a lot of information about the candidates at minnesotapublicradio.org. Best place to begin, I suppose, is to let each of you introduce yourselves to the listeners a minute or so you can explain who you are and why you're running. And we might as well do this in alphabetical order, too. Jay Beninoff, you want to start?
Thank you, Gary, and thank you for pronouncing my name right. That's the most common question I get. It is Jay Beninoff. Jay is the easy part. Thanks, Gary, and thanks. Hello to all NPR listeners, especially those in St. Paul. My name is Jay Beninoff, and I am the DFL-endorsed candidate for mayor. For 4 years, I've been a leader on the city council. I have a reputation for asking the tough questions and bringing people together to reach consensus and for always ensuring that the citizens of St. Paul get the most out of their investment in the city. I'm also the CEO of a $1.5 billion not-for-profit insurance company in St. Paul. And during my tenure, I've taken that company from the red and put it in the black, and I have kept an eye on the bottom line. I have the experience, the vision, and the leadership ability to get things done. As mayor, my priorities will be housing for all income levels, new opportunities for our kids, ensuring St. Paul is filled with vibrant, safe, and livable neighborhoods, an economic development strategy that focuses on our homegrown businesses. St. Paul needs a mayor who will work closely with the neighborhoods and business, chambers of commerce, and community groups to accomplish our goals. It needs a mayor who will lead by rolling up his sleeves. I will be that mayor. I need your support, those out there who are listening in St. Paul. I need your vote. And together we will make St. Paul a city as great as its people.
That was Jay Beninoff. Jerry Blakey.
Good morning. I am Jerry Blake, and I'm excited to be here. First of all, I need to say a happy anniversary to my wife. We've been married 14 years today.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm running for mayor primarily for three reasons. Number one is economic vitality. I've been on the city council the last 8 years, and we've seen a renaissance in the city of St. Paul, and we've just been fortunate that we've been able to keep the type of activity going for all the people of the city of St. Paul. Having a strong downtown, having strong neighborhoods, particularly Selby Avenue, where I led the renaissance in transforming that avenue, which was a troubled neighborhood. We turned that around. Secondly is the issue of what I call raising human capital or education. I believe this is a cornerstone for the city of St. Paul to have St. Paul's schools and K, what I would call K through life, where kids who are coming out of high school, going into secondary school, whether it's college or whatever they feel they want to do, we need to make sure that as a city, we're working together. Education is a cornerstone of people succeeding. We've seen it in the immigrant community. We've seen it in all communities that have come to the city of St. Paul. We need people that can do well in the workforce. The other area is what I would call public safety. We know that we have a real interest in keeping our city safe, and that's where you have all the economic development, housing. People who feel safe in their neighborhoods will invest, and we will stay there. They will live in the community.
Okay, that was Jerry Blakey and Randy Kelly. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much, Gary. It's great to be here. St. Paul is absolutely a wonderful city with a real sense of place, strong neighborhoods, and great people. And we've turned the corner, and I'm running for mayor because I want to build on the progress that we've made over the last several years. We must continue the momentum. And as a St. Paul legislator, I'm proud to have worked with our current mayor as a key member of the broad coalition that has cut taxes and crime, increased the tax base and jobs, enhanced community vitality and the quality of life. I intend to continue forward the work that Norm Coleman has begun in this city. I'm proud to have his endorsement as well as that of a broad base of other entities and individuals and their support of my vision of holding the line on taxes and spending, working with business and labor to create more jobs, improve the quality of education, expand housing options, and making sure our city is safe and that transit options are plentiful. St. Paul is now confident in itself as a business and family-friendly capital city on the Mississippi River and prepared to accomplish even more. We need to take St. Paul to the next level. Together, all of us can make a great city even better.
Okay, that was Randy Kelly. Again, if you have a question for the candidates, the number to call, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. I have a question for you folks before we get to our first caller. Mayor Coleman outlined his eighth and final budget yesterday for the eighth straight year, did not call for any tax increase in the city. If you are elected mayor, can we look for more years of no tax increases in the city, or will taxes inevitably have to go up?
Gary, this is Randy Kelly. I support the mayor's leadership in this area over the past 8 years of not raising the city's share of property taxes. As a matter of fact, in my opinion, it is one of the keys to the success of the last several years. The next mayor is going to have to work very, very hard to make sure that we do not increase our share of property taxes and encourage our school district and our county not to do so either, because we cannot be taxing residents out of their homes or discouraging investment by businesses as in the late 80s and early 90s we were doing. Double-digit property tax increases. A company such as West, a great company with 1,800 employees, finally got so disturbed and so irritated with our previous mayor and an insensitive city council that they just threw up their hands and took 1,800 good-paying jobs to the suburbs. We can't go back to the bad old days.
Gary, this is Jay Banov. You know, the goal should always be no taxes or no tax increase, low taxes. Clearly, that should be our goal. We have to balance that with the need to provide public services. The mayor's budget does call for a decrease in public libraries, the closing of hours. I think what the next mayor has to do is figure out how to provide quality services at low cost. And I think we can do that. One of the things I would do as mayor is take a look at how we use technology in this city. We're using 1985 technology at best to do some work that can be done. You can cut the cost of government. You can use better technology. The other thing we need to do is look at how we process, how we do our work. As a business, as a president and CEO of a business, I do that every day. We've cut our costs. We're more productive in my business. And that's what we need to do in the city. How do city workers get their job done? I think we haven't done enough of that. We need to look at upgrading our technology, and we need to look at how we get the job done at every department. And I think by doing that, we can continue to provide high quality, probably better, not probably, but definitely better city services at less cost than we're spending today.
Jerry Blakey?
Yes, I'm grateful to be the only one in the race that has that has a proven track record of being a fiscal conservative for 8 years have held the line on taxes. In 94, when Mayor Coleman produced his budget to the city council, he came in with a 0% tax increase, and I had to fight with many of my colleagues on the city council to keep it at zero, and I would continue that same fight even as mayor. Right now, I am the only person in the race on record that has signed the Taxpayer League pledge that says, your first year in term as mayor, we will not raise taxes. The only one that has done that. My goal is for the 4 years that I'm in office as mayor is that I would not raise taxes for those 4 years. There's still some fat in the budget. I've been also the only one who has talked about the fat, particularly in the fire department. There are 12 district supervisors that are making $80,000 a year, which is fine. But the problem is they're also making $20,000 on an average of overtime. We're fully staffed. We don't need to do it. No one else will touch those types of issues. You need a mayor that has a strong backbone that will take a look at those sacred cows and say, this is not acceptable. We will not have this happening in our city of St. Paul. So I have been the leader, will continue to be the leader on this issue. I've got a proven track record.
Eduardo is on the line with a question for the candidates. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, good morning. Well, Bobby Megger mentioned this issue. During the past administration, the city sort of neglected the district councils that we have in our neighborhoods in the city. And my question is, are you supporting to increase the financial support that the city provides to the district councils?
If I can go forward first on this, Jerry Blakey. First and foremost, money isn't always the answer to solve issues in the city of St. Paul. I really believe that we have an excellent district council system. There are, depending on which neighborhood you're in, we tend to have some issues. There are some neighborhoods who have very strong district councils who do an excellent job, and then there are some district councils that don't do a good job, and so we need to flush those ones out and then be able to bring people forward and leadership out of the community that can work on those district councils and help them to do a better job. I'm working right now with an organization called Local Initiative Support Councils that really works with organizations such as district councils to work on accountability, to work on capacity building. The best way to fix our district councils is to build capacity building so that the person who are volunteering, and these are all volunteers primarily who are working on district councils, what you do is you allow them to learn how to ask the tough questions about budgets. You ask them to help them to learn how to run meetings. Those are the things that I'm putting in place already. I'm not waiting until I'm going to be mayor. I'm already putting those things in place.
Gary, Jay Beninoff. Eduardo, good question. First thing I would do as mayor is restore the liaison to the district council's office or just district councils. We have, in fact, as a council member, I have supported a slight increase in district council budget over the last 2 years. But frankly, that hasn't been enough. The district council system was a model system. It was created by George Latimer, who I'm proud to say is supporting me, and it has fallen into some disrepair. I think it's time that we recharge them. It's time that we get actively engaged in those councils, and that the neighbors and the businesses in those district councils have a voice once again. St. Paul is a city of wonderful neighborhoods, and I think it's time that we listen to the people in the neighborhoods, and district councils are certainly one way of doing that. But I think the first thing we need to do is restore the liaison from the district council to the mayor's office.
Randy Kelly?
I think we have a very good system of public participation in this system or in this city, and I'm not sure that spending more money is going to resolve any of the issues. The fact is that most of those community councils have full-time staff. We have a part-time city council in this city with full-time citizen organizations out there. I don't think we've neglected citizen participation in St. Paul. I think we have to be very, very careful about how we expend our money, and we have to try to encourage more average people in participating in those community councils, because a lot of times they get very narrow in terms of view and perspective. So a mayor can provide a lot of leadership, I think, by making sure that they get out into the neighborhoods and into those communities, talk to the local businesses, meet with them on a regular basis. But I'm a hands-on kind of a person. I'm going to be out there in the neighborhoods and the communities a lot more. I'm not going to be relying on community councils to provide all of the input to me.
Debbie, your question for the candidates?
I was wondering, what should the relationship be between the St. Paul Board of Education and the mayor, and how is the mayor, the next mayor, going to help education in St. Paul?
Gary, this is Randy Kelly, and that is a wonderful question. Although education is not part of the charter and the responsibility of the mayor, it is my contention that you cannot have a great city without a great education system. And one of the differences that I probably have with Norm is that I'm a big fan and supporter of public education. My wife's in public education. I'm a product, as is my wife, of St. Paul Schools. And so I think the next mayor is going to have to work very, very carefully with this and closely with this new superintendent, who is an excellent superintendent, with the school boards, with the parents and the neighborhoods, to make sure that we have absolutely the best education system that we can possibly develop. One of the ideas that I have, and I feel so strongly about it, that I would create a cabinet-level position in the mayor's office for education. One of the thoughts is to tap that sort of untapped resource in this city, and that is our higher education institutions and all of their capabilities. We have more colleges and higher education institutions in this city than anywhere else in the country other than Boston. We have enough students, undergraduate students, graduate students, faculty, and alumnus to be able to one-on-one mentor every kid that's in the public education system in St. Paul on a one-to-one basis. We have about 45,000 students in public education in St. Paul. About 15,000 to 18,000 of those are struggling. We could, if we had the will, to go forward and make a big difference in their lives. We have no choice. We must do that. Our economic viability as a city depends upon it.
Jerry,
yes.
Blakey?
Yes, Councilmember Jerry Blakey. I believe that the issue of education really has to be about reform. And I believe I can lead on this issue because I have children in the St. Paul Public Schools, one of the few candidates who have believes in the St. Paul Public Schools, so much so that they've put their children in the public schools. My wife also is a volunteer, as I am, in our school. She's co-chair of the site-based council, so we're not getting a paycheck from the schools. But I think what's important is that I'm the type of person that leads from within, believes that you can't lead and change a system from outside. You have to do it from within. That's why I believe I have to be involved in my daughter's school. I'm also chair of the African-American parent group at my daughter's school because we saw that there weren't enough parents that were involved, and that's a real critical piece. Parents are the key to having a good education in St. Paul. I really believe that. I also believe that the issue of education is a civil rights issue. There are too many economically disadvantaged children that are not getting the education that many children are in our society, and that's not right. And so I'll be the type of mayor that will use the bully pulpit, that will work with Pat Harvey. I don't believe in bringing on a coordinator position because, one, I don't know how you pay for it, and I will be the type of person that won't have a go-between. This is an important enough issue that I will be there meeting with Pat Harvey, as I've been doing already once a month, talking to her and talking to the school board and saying this is a critical issue for our city, that if we don't have children who are coming out of high school who can do read, write, and math, then we're a city that's in trouble. So I will be a leader on that. And again, it's about leadership, and it's about someone who has that genuine type of credibility that when they stand up and talk to a single parent who has a child in school, they know that I have my children in the public schools, and I know what the issues are.
Jay Benninoff.
Thank you, Gary. First of all, I have my own advisor already in the public school system. My wife, Lucy, is a fifth-grade teacher in Capitol Hill, and so she is on the front lines every day. I hear about that, and for those of you who know Lucy, you know she's quite outspoken, so I have my own advisor already. I have served on a number of capacities at the school system. I was on the selection review, I was the selection committee that selected the superintendent. I've served on the Citizens Budget Review Committee over the years. And I think I understand what education needs. It's the kind of issue that when I go around St. Paul door to door, people talk about. The mayor cannot separate himself or divorce himself from that issue. It's an issue that the next mayor and I as the next mayor will lead on. I would work with the superintendent. I will work with the school board, and I will attend some school board meetings. I think it's important that the school board have some direction from the top elected official in this city. I think it's very important. In addition to what Randy said in using colleges, college students, there are lots of folks out there, business folks, of seniors who have said to me, how can I get involved in the schools? Clearly we have some schools that are in distress. Some schools where the classroom sizes are too large to, for one teacher to teach. We have resources out there that we can tap to get into our school system to tutor these kids. But I think ultimately the mayor has to lead on this issue. The mayor has to be outspoken, has to be at the legislature, has to be everywhere around town, has to go to the schools. I think that's important. I think the mayor has to go from school to school and work with the administration, work with the teachers, and work with the union, because only together can we solve this problem.
All of the candidates have indicated that you'd like to hold down property taxes. You don't want property taxes going through the roof. But if you're elected mayor and the school board decides, goodness gracious, you know, with this change in funding for the schools, if we want any extra money now, we're going to have to take it out of the property tax. And by golly, the schools need a lot more money. So what we're going to do is propose a substantial property tax increase for the schools in St. Paul. As mayor, would you support that?
Gary, no, this is...
I wouldn't.
Gary,
if I could go for it first on this. Jerry Blakey. I don't support that type of increase. If money was the solution, then we wouldn't have any problems in our St. Paul schools. Money is not the issue. I really believe that we have to take a look at, are we getting the money that we do have right now into the classrooms? And I don't think we are. I don't think the money is going directly to the kids, and we're having a problem with, I think we're too top-heavy, and so I wouldn't support a tax increase at all.
Gary, this is Jay Beninov. You know, that's a hard question to answer. Before any tax increases are supported or proposed, I think we need to look at how we're using our money. One of the things I've done on the council, one of the things I've done in my own business, is look at how money is spent. The mark of a good leader is knowing where to spend money, how to spend it strategically, and how to move that money around to get the most bang for the buck, so to speak. So, you know, we're not obviously at the point where I could commit to supporting an increase. I was supportive of last year's levy increase, which the voters saw fit to pass. I was very involved in that. I think that was a need that the school system was able to show, and Pat Harvey was able to convince the voters of that. But obviously, any time a tax increase is proposed by the county or by the schools, I think we need to take a hard look at that, see how the money is being spent, and perhaps use it elsewhere.
Ready, Kelly?
Well, Gary, I essentially feel the same way. The fact is that just last year, the voters in this city voted to tax themselves some $7 million more, which leveraged another $14 million. So St. Paul Public Schools will receive, in terms of a levy, $21 million more money than they did last year. That is a significant amount of money. So I don't think it's a question of in the near future wanting to or needing to raise significant local property taxes for our schools. The fact is the general ed levy has now been taken off, as you alluded to, the local property taxes has been moved to the state. So you're going to need someone at the city level who can work very closely with the state legislature, because their influence in terms of local property taxes is going to grow in a tremendous proportion, because right now St. Paul, a third of their budget is dependent upon the state in terms of local government aid, school aids, HACA, and fiscal disparities. More and more of that property tax impact is going to be felt by decisions made at the state. I'm uniquely qualified to be dealing with legislators and making sure that St. Paul's property taxes aren't increased by insisting that St. Paul gets a fair share of the sales and income tax that come into the state. So, again, it isn't about money. It's about leadership. Particularly, this mayor has done an excellent job working in the joint tax advisory capacity of when you bring the city and the county and the school district together, job owning and using the bully pulpit to make sure that the other entities, the county and the school district, is not significantly increasing their property tax share. The next mayor is going to have to work equally as hard to persuade Ramsey County and the St. Paul School District not to be increasing their property taxes. And I just have done that by asking the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners not to go forward with their 8.2% increase proposal that they just brought forward about 2 weeks ago.
We have to break for headlines, but a caller wanted to know, do your kids go to the public or private schools? Jay Beninov?
My kids have attended public schools and are currently in private school.
Jerry Blakey?
Public schools.
Kelly. My kids have attended both public and private schools. Ryan is at St. Thomas, and Reed, my youngest son, is heading off to Juilliard in New York this fall.
We're talking this hour with three of the candidates who apparently stand a good chance of surviving the September 11th primary. They're all running for mayor of St. Paul. We talked with three other candidates the first hour, and we'll get to more of your questions for the candidates right after we break for some headlines here. Here's Stephen John. Stephen?
Thank you, Gary. NATO is heading into Macedonia. The alliance today approved deploying a small British military unit, which will move into the embattled Balkan country by the end of this week. Later, a full 3,500-member force will follow with the goal of disarming ethnic Albanian rebels. New research is sparking new debate over human cloning. Scientists at Duke University Medical Center say it may be safer to clone humans than sheep. But the man who gave the world Dolly the sheep says the issue is complicated, and he's urging against a rush to clone humans. The FBI is trying to locate cancer patients in Kansas City, Missouri, after it was learned a pharmacist allegedly diluted chemotherapy drugs to save money. Hundreds of patients could be affected. The pharmacist is to surrender to authorities today. Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble are scaling back their planned $4 billion joint venture that would have combined brands like Minute Maid Juice and Pringles Potato Chips. The companies will now focus on a smaller business to create and market new products. More than 1,400 new citizens are being sworn in today at two naturalization ceremonies at Bethel College in Arden Hills. Most of the participants of the first session will be gaining citizenship under the Hmong Veterans Naturalization Act of 2000. Senator Paul Wellstone was a co-sponsor of the act and was scheduled to speak at the ceremony. The late Congressman Bruce Vento first introduced the bill. 91 countries will be represented at a second naturalization ceremony this afternoon. School officials in Albert Lea are preparing for a drop in enrollment following last month's fire at the Farmland Foods plant. Of the district's 3,900 students, 160 had at least one parent employed at Farmland last school year. There's a chance of showers and thunderstorms statewide today. Temperatures mainly in the 70s. Tonight, a chance of evening showers and thunderstorms mainly in the east. For tomorrow, mostly sunny in the northwest, mostly cloudy in the southeast. Redwood Falls has 74 this hour. Light rain in Rochester and 61. The Twin Cities with a mostly cloudy sky, 69. And that's an update, Gary, from the newsroom.
Thank you, Stephen. It's about 26 minutes before 1. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio, and today we're talking with the six candidates for mayor of St. Paul, the six candidates who are thought to be the most likely candidates to survive next month's primary election. The two top vote-getters will advance to the November general election. The other 14 candidates will be eliminated from the race. Last hour, we spoke with former city licensing director Bob Kessler and former city council members Bob Long and Bobby Meegard. This hour, we're talking with Republican city council member Jerry Blakey, DFL city council member Jay Benanoff, and DFL state senator Randy Kelly. They have been grouped this way because of their position in the alphabet. We did it alphabetically, so that's hopefully will explain or answer some of your questions. If you have a question for the candidates, give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828. I don't want to misquote him, but I think this is a fairly accurate quote. Outgoing Mayor Norm Coleman was quoted as saying that the inability to challenge the unions in St. Paul will be the death of the city. And he said that what's going to happen here, if there isn't some competition built into the system of providing public services, costs are just going to go through the roof. Would you agree with Mayor Coleman?
Gary, let me answer that. This is Jay Benanoff. We have an ordinance on the books, which I authored, and actually Councilmember Blakey was supportive of this, that does allow managed competition, that does allow the unions, and does allow the private sector to compete for city services. That has not yet been implemented. I think it's important that we look at holding down the cost of government while providing better service. And I've done that both in my public and private life with my business right across the street, by the way, here in St. Paul. One of the things we need to do is look at how we are providing those services. How do we do the job? How are people doing the job? What kind of technology we use? But we do have on the books, and there's a commission that was supposed to be appointed. I don't think it has been appointed, to look at how to implement that. Clearly, we need, as any business needs to look at, how to hold down the cost of government, whether it's government, business, whatever you're looking at. And we haven't done enough of that here in St. Paul. I, as mayor, vow and make a pledge that we will look at cutting the cost of government while providing higher quality services. We can do that. We have an ordinance on the books that I authored, and we will implement that when I am mayor.
Gary, those are really just words.
This is Randy Kelly.
Because Jay put together a ordinance, the managed competition ordinance, that you could, it's unworkable. And the reason it hasn't been used is that it's unworkable. The conditions under that ordinance, as I've looked at it, you wouldn't save any money. If you're not going to displace anyone, if you're, it's an unworkable kind of an ordinance. And the fact is, Jay, you've been on the city council for almost 4 years, and you have resisted any efforts to challenge the way in which we do business in this city. Now, you can say it, but it doesn't make it so. The fact is that there are a number of things that we can be doing to make St. Paul more efficient. We live in the smallest geographic county in the state, Ramsey County. There are 22 or 23 municipalities. We have Ramsey County. We need to be working with other municipalities. We need to be working with the county to look at functions that we are providing, public works, parks and rec, law enforcement, and figuring out how we can do business better. Back in 1990, I passed a law which created a commission of Ramsey County and city St. Paul City people. That commission, as a result of that work, they consolidated our city health department into the county health department. We eliminated one department. We consolidated St. Paul's Election Bureau into the Ramsey County Election Bureau. The fact is, there has not been a lot of work, in spite of what Jay is talking about, in the last several years to do that. And you have to be able to lead, work with the affected parties. But the fact is, there's a lot more that can be done. And with, if we want to keep property taxes down, that's exactly the kind of leadership and hard work that we're going to have to do, roll up our sleeves to make that happen.
Jerry Blakey?
Yeah. First of all, I think we've done a pretty good job. We've held the line on taxes for the last 7 years. We'll fight. I will be fighting to do it for 8 years in a row. But we have to also make sure that our workers are trained very well. We have an excellent workforce, and that's where you get the ingenuity and the creativity from people who do the job day in, day out. They can look at a particular issue, whether it's snow plowing or whether it's firefighting, and they can tell you if we have this particular equipment or if we have this type of training, then we can save the city money. So I would look at more training opportunities for people. Again, that goes back to my raising human capital, giving folks an opportunity to lead by education. This whole issue, I had a problem with the way that this whole competition, managed competition, came about. I thought that even though Mayor Coleman was on the right track, I don't think it was presented very well. You can't bring forth an idea such as managed competition and not have all of the people, all of the stakeholders in the room, eyeball to eyeball, and saying to each other, this is what we need to do. How do we hold down taxes? And that's where I would disagree with the mayor. I think we need to have all of the leadership at the table, have an open door policy where everybody's sitting down together to make those changes and challenge each other. And that's the type of leadership that I would bring, is that I would have you sitting eyeball to eyeball to get this job done.
Gary, just one quick comment on Senator Kelly's. The managed competition ordinance in St. Paul is modeled after Indianapolis. That was the model that the mayor pointed to. Unfortunately, the mayor didn't in his proposal, as Councilmember Blakey say, implement the Indianapolis model. That is modeled in Indianapolis. Indianapolis has saved hundreds of millions of dollars in the last few years. Skip Stitt, who was a deputy mayor in Indianapolis when it was done, was in town. He helped us work on that managed competition ordinance. So it's not unworkable. It has been proven. All we need to do is put it into place.
Jay, you're on the St. Paul City Council. You could have at any time over the last 3 years called a press conference,
used your position as a city councilman to move forward and to put pressure if the mayor was not providing the leadership for that. The fact is that you haven't done that. And the fact is the public employees have endorsed you because they feel you're the kind of guy that is going to sit there and listen to them and pander to whatever they want to do.
One quick comment. Randy, I don't hold press conferences for the sake of holding press conferences. We implemented that ordinance. It's the mayor's responsibility to make the appointments. We have asked him to make the appointments. And for whatever reason, which I don't think I completely understand, he has not made those appointments. The mayor is the chief executive of this city. The mayor needs to lead. As mayor, I will lead. I will implement the managed competition ordinance, which has been proven in Indianapolis to save millions of dollars. I will do that as the mayor of St. Paul. As a council member, I did my job. We passed the ordinance. It's up to the mayor, the leader, to implement it.
If I can just jump in the middle of this, is that it's really important to have the type of credibility that I've been able to establish on the city council the last 8 years.
Jerry Blakey,
thank you. You have to be able to take on those sacred cows. We can talk about managed competition. We can talk about those types of words, but it's really first and foremost, let's look within the budget on where we can cut the fat out right now. I don't think you get into competition until you're able to take on those issues. And I've mentioned about the fire department. There are some other places where we can cut as well. And so before you talk about managed competition, let's look at those sacred cows that so many people are afraid to take on.
Okay. Gary, just a brief comment, Randy Kelly, and then I want to move on.
Thank you. Well, the fact is I have demonstrated my ability and willingness to take on those sacred cows. As chairman of the Finance Committee overseeing the Department of Corrections, I worked on a bipartisan basis to force that department, through the threat of competition, to decrease their budget, their baseline budget this last year, by $18.8 million. I led the effort to close one of the juvenile facilities in this state, in spite of the opposition from AFSCME and others. The fact is, you've got to do more than talk about it, Jay. You got to lead.
Stephanie, your question for the candidates?
Yes. There's been a lot of talk about supporting more life downtown St. Paul, and I had a question about amenities for the people who live and work downtown, particularly the ones who live downtown. And here's my challenge question to all three of the candidates, and that is, do any of you know about a little grocery that was formed almost 20 years ago to help the elderly who live downtown who have no cars and some of which are too frail to carry their own groceries, which still exists and is about to go out of business because of no support from City Hall? And I wonder if any of the candidates know what that little grocery co-op is, where it is, and do they have any plans to help?
Gary, I'm very familiar with it. It's in Gallery Towers, and I have it has served a tremendous need in that area, right down off of Wabasha and St. Peter. It is in dire straits. As a matter of fact, I'm working with a couple foundations right now to see if we can get some interim financing and support for them so that they can redo their business plan and make sure that that entity can continue. The fact is that we have a lot of senior citizens in the downtown area, a lot of low-income people, and we have to make sure as a city government that they have places in which they can get the services and the drugs, prescription drugs, and the things that they need. So I'm very familiar with it. But in terms of the complaints that I have heard in terms of downtown, a couple of the issues that I would work on very quickly, and that is public safety. A lot of people do not feel, particularly the elderly, do not feel as safe downtown as they could and as they should. Many of these people are transit dependent. They go to the bus stops and they feel threatened by a bunch of hoodlums hanging around there, and we have to make sure that we have more police downtown and they're on in terms of foot patrol. Secondly, downtown is not as clean as it should be. A lot of people who live downtown say that we have to do a better job as a city to make sure that we have a clean downtown. So a safe, clean, affordable downtown is absolutely critical to make sure that you have a place that's attractive for seniors, for families, and for economic vitality.
Jerry Blakey, your priorities for downtown?
Well, I've been I've been one of the leaders on this issue of bringing people living in the downtown core. Right now in St. Paul, we have 5,000 people who live in downtown St. Paul. Minneapolis has 30,000. My goal in my first term in office is to have 20,000 people living in downtown St. Paul. That will take care of a number of things. Number one, housing. That'll have a positive impact on housing all across the board. And it would be housing that would be high income, low income, moderate. But also, by having more people on the street, then you have a public safety model right there. When you have that type of activity, you see the eyes on the street, that makes people feel comfortable, that makes people feel safe. So that's a real key thing. Also, when you have a number of a critical mass of people living in the downtown, that's where the retail base will follow and will stay strong, particularly with this store. The problem is you don't have enough people living downtown. And I've been the only one in the race so far that has talked about adding 20,000 people living downtown, and I would continue to do that. Another issue that I'm going to be proposing is an ambassador safety program where we will have 70 people who will not be on the city budget. It will be through Capital City Partnership and some other types of organizations where we will have people who are hired to actually be downtown, pick up the litter, be eyes on the street to let people know where to go when there's events, other types of activities, such as an unfortunate incident that happened with the carjacking. We would have had people on the street under my program. So I will be putting in place an ambassador force, and that will help with the public safety downtown.
Jay Baninoff?
Let me answer the question directly. First of all, the city needs to be much more supportive of small business, whether it's downtown or through the neighborhoods. This grocery store, yes, is struggling, and frankly, the city hasn't paid enough attention to our homegrown businesses. University Avenue, huge, huge capacity for economic development there. Haven't spent enough attention down there. Ace Hardware on Grand Avenue has struggled for years to get a little star funding. The city has not come through. But the issue of downtown specifically, housing is very important downtown. I have supported and been a leader on the Centex project, which is going to build 560 units of housing, Northeast Quadrant. And we do need more housing downtown. But to say 20,000 units in the next 4 years, literally that would mean 60 skyscrapers downtown in the next 4 years. I think it's important to try to separate the rhetoric from reality. 20,000 more people downtown, we don't have space for 60 skyscrapers. Other things we can do downtown to bring people would be to work on the farmers market renovation. There's a committee that's put together now, and we are going to have the finest farmers market throughout the country, I believe. We need to bring people downtown. I propose closing some city streets on weekends, especially along the river, to allow people to walk through downtown along the river, set up merchants, set up vendors, so people have a comfort level that they're right now. If you try to cross Kellogg in the middle of the day, you could get run over. It's pretty dangerous. Make it an atmosphere that people want to come downtown. When they say, "What are we going to do today?" they'll say, "Hey, let's go downtown. Let's go visit the farmers market. Let's go visit what's along the river. Let's go to Harriet Island." People is the key to all of this, and I think we need to pay attention to that. And as mayor, I will lead that charge.
A lot of interest in the housing issue, and I want to come back to that. We've talked about that from time to time and touched on it in various forms. Can you give me one specific thing that you would do after you get elected mayor to increase the number of places that people have to live in the city that they can afford? Randy Kelly?
Gary, we raise about $7 million a year with our half-cent sales tax that goes to the neighborhoods. A goal, and it's only a goal because it's not being met, a goal is to spend 50% of that on housing to help increase housing production. Well, the fact is we are in the tightest housing market in the nation in this metropolitan area. And we've got to do more than talk about housing. We've got to have the will to proceed, to focus our resources to get it done. If I'm mayor, what I'm going to be suggesting to the city council and to our residents is that we spend a significant larger share of that sales tax revenue to increase the production and to set the table for the private sector to come in and to increase housing both downtown, in our neighborhoods, and particularly increasing density of our housing along our commercial corridors.
Jay Baninoff, one specific thing that you would do pretty quickly as if you're elected as mayor?
Well, one thing we've already done on the council is reduce the permit fees, so folks who want to build housing can reduce their costs because the city has reduced its fees. But we need to look at alternative methods of financing. We need to look at HRA funds, some of which have been used for commercial development. We need to refocus that. We need to look, and I would agree with Randy on this one, on the STAR funding. Our goal has been 50%. I think we've come pretty close to using that. We need to partnerships with the business community, the nonprofits, Fannie Mae, other government and quasi-government agencies. And we have accomplished some things here, not enough. We have to look at what I call non-traditional housing sites. There's a development that just broke ground on Fairview and University, right on University, senior housing, not what we sometimes think of as a traditional housing site. We need to look at those sites. We need to clean up our brownfields. We need to build a higher density in places that can support that kind of density.
Jerry Blakey?
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you asked about specifics, because that's been one of my concerns in the race, is that people are sort of talking in broad strokes. And my idea of having 20,000 people living downtown, not 20,000 units, 20,000 people, is very specific, and you can hold me accountable to that. I think probably the one specific thing, that the other thing that I pushed through, was the issue of the housing plan for the city of St. Paul. This was going to go through 2 years ago without anybody bringing it off the consent agenda. I brought it off the consent agenda and said, what we need to do is make sure that we have a affordable housing goal in the city of St. Paul, and fought with my council members in order to get this through, and was able to get 20% goal. Jay was on board with that as well. But I think it's real key that we have specific language in what we're going to do when we talk about housing, and we have to do three things. Number one, the city has to stay at the table. We've got to re-engage the federal government. They've been disengaged. I think the state government also has been woefully inactive when it comes to housing. Also, I would have a stronger impact with the private developers. All of those entities really come into play. The city can't do it alone.
Gary, there's another issue in the housing that I just would touch on. And what I would be looking at is problem properties also. I can tell you, in every neighborhood I go to, people who have investments in their homes, are trying to raise families, there are problem properties in this city, and the mayor and the city council are going to have to become more aggressive with respect to requiring people, landlords, to take better care of their property and not be a blight on a number of communities all throughout the city.
Now, we only have about 2.5 minutes to go, then I want to give you each an opportunity to wrap up. So these are unfair questions that have to be answered very quickly. But are there any one thing that any of you would do to improve police protection in the city, to make the place St. Paul a safer place? Jay Beninoff?
Yeah, I was the council member who last year proposed, and fortunately we adopted full funding for the police department for the first time, so we have a full complement. What I would like to see is more police on the streets. I think it's important that residents see their police officers. We need to get them out of the squad cars into the streets, or out of administrative positions into the street. It's absolutely critical. We need to be supportive of our police department.
Gary, Kelly? Well, I'm endorsed by the St. Paul Police Federation as well as Local 21, our firefighters, and they screened all of us. And they feel that I have the best record. I spent 25 years in the legislature working on public safety issues. And the fact is, we have perhaps one of the finest police departments and fire departments, at least in the state, if not in the nation. And so we have to make sure, as Jay said, that we have a full complement, which I was just at the graduation last night with 17 new members coming on. Need to have a full complement, make sure they're trained properly, that they have proper equipment, and get them out of those cars. Get them walking in those neighborhoods.
Jerry Blakey?
Well, the key thing right now is that having trust between the police and the community, and I was glad to lead the charge with the NAACP and also with Chief Finney on the city level to end racial profiling. Unfortunately, up at the state, it was terrible, terrible leadership there that I think really caused a mistrust, in particularly in the community's colors, off-colors communities when you're dealing with the police. The police have to, one, feel that they have the right to do their job, but also the citizens also have to feel good that the police are going to do their job and they're not going to unfairly target particularly persons of color. So the real key thing, and this has an impact on economic vitality, has an impact on the whole strength of the city of St. Paul, is that the police must be able to do their job but they must do it in a justifiable way.
And, yeah, this really is a yes or no. If you're elected mayor, would you plan to reappoint Police Chief Finney when his term expires in 2004? Jay Beninoff?
Well, I would consider it, but I'd have to look at what's happened from now or from the time his term started to 2004. I would definitely consider it.
Jerry Blakey?
A high probability.
Randy Kelly?
Chief has suggested to me that he's not interested in reapplying. I think he has about 2 years left of his term, and if he was saying last night in a public forum that he's at the twilight of his career, and I wouldn't anticipate that he would seek reappointment. I think he's done a great job, though.
I want to give each of you a minute here for a closing statement to make your pitch to the voters. Let's do this in reverse alphabetical order. That would mean, Randy Kelly, you go first.
Well, thank you very much, Gary and NPR, for hosting this discussion. But an hour radio interview isn't a substitute for months of listening to the people of St. Paul and having them allow me to lay out my vision for keeping this city moving forward. We've got a lot of opportunities and a few challenges for the future, and it'll require strong leadership, vision, and a mayor who will bring together Democrats, Republicans, and independents to the table. My campaign reflects that broad coalition that I hope to lead, the St. Paul business community, labor, police, fire, building trades, the hospitality union, unions, and governmental leaders from both parties supporting my candidacy. My administration will be built on attracting the best people to do the best job for St. Paul. This is a nonpartisan race. That's the way it should be. My goal is to build coalitions and partnerships and move this city forward, and I hope I can count on the support of people here in St. Paul. Together, we can all make a great city even better.
DFL State Senator Randy Kelly. And let's see, who's next? Jerry Blakey.
Yeah, thank you, Rick Gary, for having us on. What the city of St. Paul needs going forward is 21st century leadership. I've got the only proven track record in this race that has been able to hold the line on taxes for 8 years, that has been the leader in technology, bringing dark fiber into our cable for cable systems in the city of St. Paul. I've also have the only I'm the only candidate who's been able to turn a neighborhood around. If people remember 10 years ago what Selby and the Summit University neighborhood looked like, they would realize that there's been a wonderful renaissance transformation that's happened in that area. I want to do that for the rest of the city of St. Paul. Three things: education, economic development, public safety. I've been a leader on that. My grandfather has been a bricklayer mason over 100 years ago, worked on the Cathedral, Capitol, Union Depot, Harriet Island, sixth-generation Minnesotan. I have the proven track record to lead this city in the 21st century. I need your support. I want your vote. Thank you.
Republican City Council Member Jerry Blakey, and finally DFL City Council Member Jay Beninoff.
Thank you, Gary, and thank you for the listening audience. I'm Jay Beninoff. I am the DFL-endorsed candidate for mayor. You know, St. Paul can be a city as great as its people. That means simply strong, safe neighborhoods, housing opportunities for all, new opportunities for kids, economic development strategy that increases our tax base. I am a leader who knows how to work with all parts of the city. All parts of the city. It's important to engage the community, the neighbors, business, and labor. I have gotten things done, both on the city council and in the private sector. I'm the CEO of a $1.5 billion company. You don't get to be that, do that for 14 years without paying attention to the bottom line and how things are accomplished. This is not rhetoric. It's accomplishments. I ask all the voters out there to look closely at the candidates, and I hope that on September 11th you will vote for me, Jay Beninoff, the DFL-endorsed candidate. Thanks,
gentlemen. Thanks for coming in today, and good luck to all of you.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes our program today. It certainly doesn't conclude our coverage of this race. Now, if you missed part of the program, though, either this hour or the previous hour with three other candidates, we'll broadcast both hours, 9 to 11 tonight, and, of course, much, much more information about all the candidates available at our website, minnesotapublicradio.org. I'd like to thank all of you who have been with us this hour. Especially those of you who called in, tried to call in with your questions and comments. Gary Eichen here. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
On the next All Things Considered, a look at the leading candidates for the mayor of St. Paul. We'll have that story plus the rest of the day's news on the next All Things Considered, weekdays at 3 on Minnesota Public Radio.
You're listening to Minnesota Public Radio. We have a cloudy sky, 69 degrees at KNWFM, 91.1 Minneapolis and St. Paul. A chance for some more scattered showers and thunder showers through the afternoon with a high in the mid-70s.
40% chance for showers and thundershowers tonight with a low 55 to 60. Tomorrow, cloudy sky in the cities with a high temperature in the low 70s.